434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcarnetwork.net or 266-4862, 266-IVOB. The security guard here at Starcom Network was given an envelope and a bit of paper with the name Joyce Ramdeh Hall. That's R-A-M-D-E-H-O-L-L. And it's at our front desk for collection by that person. You've lost some important documents, and you can give us a call for 30-7300. That's our switchboard. Or you can come to our River Road studios with some identification. We have your documents here at the station. I think there are times when I have to not listen to the news, because the news out of Trinidad about a child who was beaten to death by a parent, a child obviously with challenges, and then some organization says you must have mens rea before you can be charged with murder, you must intend to beat. That people beat children all the time and injure them, and some of them die. That's what we think of life. Okay. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello? Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm calling you to speak about this issue where the elderly go into these homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a situation where a friend of mine's mother is in the geriatric hospital.
Right.
Now, when the person came to the house to do the interview, they asked if she was getting a pension.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was getting a pension from England. But now she's in the home. You don't want to sign the papers for the lady to continue getting her pension. And then at the end of the day, you are calling the children and asking them to bring this and bring that. Don't have a problem in doing that. But you stop now. You caused one pension to be stopped and then had to stop the other one here in Barbados.
They stopped both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
Did they give a reason for it?
No.
Did you ask for a reason for it?
Yes, I know that one will have to stop because you're going into the institution.
Point blank. Right.
Some people still get it. I know that for sure.
No, but here's the thing.
Hold. Okay.
The reason why I'm asking this is because I'm trying to find out if across the board it is enforced that if you receive a pension, when you go into government care, it ceases. That's what they told you.
Yes.
Okay, good. And they did not want to sign the life certificate. There was a life certificate they're supposed to sign to send overseas if the person is to continue to get the pension.
Right.
And they didn't. And they didn't do it.
It hasn't been done. And no reason why.
No,
and you don't
more than likely for the same reason.
You don't know who to go to have it done.
You could go to a justice of the peace or you could go to a lawyer. But the question is, does the law allow them to do that? The banks used to do it too. That's why I know.
No, she was supposed to just sign the certificate.
But it has to be verified by a justice of the peace to verify that it is her signature and she is alive. Or else anybody could sign it and say she's alive and it's not.
Right, and in a situation where the person cannot sign, then what do you do?
Somebody signs on their behalf and it has to be acknowledged by a justice of the peace again that the person is not able to sign either because they're incapacitated, they're blind, or they can't hold a pen anymore. Or something like that.
And it ain't none of those.
But here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm following this so closely, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There obviously seems to be some, I don't want to say discrepancy, but some unevenness in the way this law is applied. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
And in some cases, if the person is receiving a pension from overseas, which means it's outside of the control of the Barbados government. I sent a message to someone to try to find out if that also applies to that person. Because, you see, I don't like doing these things because... I'm walking carefully here because I made some promises to my late uncle that I keep breaking. My late uncle was a magistrate and a judge here in Barbados, okay? But he worked in almost every single Caribbean island at various levels of the legal fraternity. Attorney General here, Director of Public Prosecutions there, up to acting governor in place. So he got pensions from about 7 or 8 different Caribbean islands. Mm-hmm. But they all came through the Treasury in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, mm-hmm. if you have a, and then it was issued by the Treasury of Barbados to him. Now, if you have situations like that, then the laws of Barbados obviously govern them. But if you have a situation where somebody worked with, let's say, London Transport, mm-hmm. and London Transport sends them a pension, or they were in the United States Army, and the U.S. Army sends them a pension, if they go into care, the question is, how do we stop that? If, in fact, we do stop it, because it is not the government of Barbados paying them.
Exactly.
It's not going through the Treasury of Barbados. And I'm trying to figure out if that's one of those areas of shaded gray that, mm-hmm. you know, will be exploited.
Well, there's a while now that we have been asking for help to deal with it, mm-hmm. and nobody, you know, because...
But when you say nobody, who did you ask?
Well, I asked the persons that are in charge of the place, and they will not sign it. I asked the reason why, mm-hmm. but now we haven't had the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people in England are waiting for is that particular thing.
Yeah, they just need a signed document.
Make sure that the person is still alive. That's all. And then you're going to call me and ask me to come to this institution to come and buy, to get pills for the lady, and you have to buy them.
Yeah, you have to.
So when the children or some of them don't work, then how are you going to get them? And then at the end of the day, then it is...
Yeah.
It is $350 to come to you, to come back to the place to get them, $350 mm-hmm. back down, and then back up. I mean, people should take a lot of things into consideration, especially now that things are getting, have gotten so bad in this country or in the world. They don't take things into consideration. I need to get it sorted out.
Well,
I don't know. But as you said, justice of peace, I will...
Well, I know justices of the peace yeah. can sign... And bank officials can sign the life certificates. Because as I said, when I worked in the bank, I know people would come in with their pensions from overseas and the life certificate. And since they were clients of the bank and we had their signatures and we had the authority to put a bank stamp on it, we would do it. And I know justices of peace can. But the area that I think you need guidance on, and I'll stress this part of it, the part that I think you need guidance on is if the person is in care, what else you have to do. Because if every time they send a certificate, you have to go through the process all over again, whether or not the person is getting better or getting worse, deteriorating in health. In other words, how do they know when they stop being able to, you know, tell you go ahead and sign on their behalf.
Right.
Or to give you power of attorney to do it. So those are the areas that I think you need clarification on. And I would suggest you do that.
We heard of the power of attorney issue, but that is mm-hmm. a bit steep on price too. You understand? That is a bit steep on price.
Ma'am, everything has a price. which is I think what the government of Barbados was telling people about raising fees on things. Everything has a price, and the price depends on all sorts of things.
Well, yeah. She has it going to a bank also, so I don't know. I will take those two other things. I did the Justice of Peace one before. I will go mm-hmm. back to the lady and see
what goes on from there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. Let me tell the person who sent the WhatsApp message, tell me to tell them who to call and what number not to call on air, right? I am not an advertising agency. I will not tell anybody on this radio station to call any private enterprise for anything they are doing, lest when they do not get the service they anticipate, they say, Dennis Johnson, tell me, call you, and this and this and this happened to me. I protect my name just the same way you protect your number. There is something called advertising. You can't cuss me on one hand and then ask me to do something and don't call your number. Not going to do it. Sorry. You know, I would like people to, I know they're professionals. I appreciate their professionalism and I respect it. I would like them to do the same with me. If I tell somebody to call X for help and they don't get the help they required, or they charge the fee that's exorbitant, you think I want them telling them, I tell somebody to do it, and then the person give me a kickback to advertise for them? That's how we operate in this country, and we pretend we don't know. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, first time caller.
It's good to have you with us.
Yes. I have a problem with these dead arms, them that running in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a police officer one time. He said they ain't got enough manpower. But down at Warren's Polyclinic, they don't. Yes, ma'am. I would like a police down this, okay, if I even like on a ship.
There's something called the Barbados Transport Authority. They regulate ZR's private public transport operations. And you need to take a number of the vehicles or vehicle, call the Barbados Transport Authority, give them the information, either privately, quietly, whatever else, in writing, and let them take care of either police, inspectors, or transport inspectors, or whomever, to check in that area. I know the area fairly well, and I know that there's a lot of hustling going on in that area. Vehicles parked side by side, people crossing the road, stopping traffic, all sorts of strange things. The thing about having a police officer there is that they'll be there for a while. As you say, the police may have manpower issues. It will be all right for a day or two or a few hours, and then it will go back. If they start tracking the numbers of the vehicles and those who are constant abusers of the system, they'll be able to perhaps put a more long-term measure in effect. But it's not right.
I
agree.
When the police there, you don't get...
They behave.
Some of them, like, they don't register because they have a police or they have the licensed people, them. Mm-hmm. You don't see half the ZR on the road.
Correct.
But as soon as the police or the licensed people gone, then you...
They do whatever they want to do. Yep, agree.
Yes, you see a lot of them back on the road.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's how they operate. Ma'am, this hustling of private transport is... It's becoming more prevalent than just ZR vans and, the other buses. I'm seeing other road users behaving in the same manner, and it is worrying. It means that we have a real chaotic system on our roads. It's unfortunate. But especially with roadworks going on, it's going to become more, I think, more annoying before we get it under control. That's the truth. That's the truth. But I hope they do something about it for you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. After all, you depend on them to get there safely. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. 434-1790, you can reach us at 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I just called to say, I remember I had a relative who was in the geriatric, and my family member, they told us that if we going to be responsible for his living, that we could remain having the drawing the pension, as long as we're going to maintain him and stuff like that. So I don't know if it...
When you say maintain him, what do you mean?
Like buy all his stuff and whatever.
Bring it to them?
Needs. Yes, and mm-hmm. whatever he needs, we will provide and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was. I don't know if it has changed now.
How long ago was that? You remember?
I can't remember quite. Do you know?
Did you have any problems getting the pension?
No, we used to wash his clothes and we would...
No, but did you have problems getting the pension?
No.
Okay. He had to sign it and you would take it in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The pension was from Barbados?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Okay. Well, we tried to get that caller back on the line. Or some relatives collect people's pensions and then use it for themselves, spend nothing on the elderly person who is institutionalized. I'm a nurse of 20 years at the geriatric hospital and quite familiar with this issue. Sometimes what happens, they promise to bring Pampers and other personal care items, run off, never to return, so the social worker is informed, who then informs the NIS, and the pension is put on hold pending investigations. Well, that's said by someone who says they are currently. Said they've been there for 20 years. What I'd like that person to do for me says, in relation to the pension, let me read this part of it. The pension is stopped if it is non-contributory. If it's a contributory pension, it continues. The relative brings the life certificate to the ward. It's signed by the doctor. If the patient has dementia or is unable to sign for cognitive impairment reasons, a thumbprint is placed on the life certificate, and this is done by the social worker. Okay, now, that's the kind of dialogue and information I'd like to have, and more of that type of information. This is an issue I think we got to try to deal with, perhaps on a Brass Tacks Sunday, to take a look at this whole issue of persons in care and what happens to them, whether the pension comes from a source overseas or whether it comes from Barbados. And this whole, well, the issue I raised, for example, of if you stop the pension because on investigation, if the NIS stops the pension because, you know, of some relative who's being unscrupulous, what happens if the person has a property that no one is caring for? Their properties in Barbados that are derelict. We see it from time to time in the newspaper. We sometimes see the banks putting notices of thousands of dollars and they can't find the people after many years it goes to the central bank. What happens if these people, for whatever reason, leave property unattended and the relatives are really either trying to get it or exploit them to get it eventually or move in and take it over and all the other things that happen? There is an outlying layer to this that we're not looking at. We're looking at simply stopping a pension or not stopping a pension, whether the person's buying items or not. But a lot of our elderly folk, this whole thing that the minister was talking about, elderly worry and abuse of senior citizens, that's what brought the focus to mind. Of course, Rashid, who passed away, his comment always used to be, I live a very Spartan existence. But even if you live a very Spartan existence, sometimes people want you Spartan. Not because they need it. They just figure, you know, I should have that too, in addition to whatever else they have. I might not be the best person to do that one, though. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, in relation to the pension, I can only tell you from my experience, but I had an uncle, he went into a home, and what we did, well, this is pertaining to the Barbados pension, what we did was we notified the national, the NIS,
mm-hmm.
and what they did, they sent the pension over to the home. Mm-hmm. But if you're going into a government institution, they usually stop it automatically. And we turn to the, in terms of the one from England, my mom used to get the pension from England, which was my dad's pension. And after she died, we had to go to the bank. And the bank didn't even ask us if we want they just asked me if I wanted to keep the account open because it was in my name or her name. I said no, because if there's a certificate that she has to sign, I can't remember if it's monthly or not, but if that certificate is not signed by her, her pension will stop. So by her not signing the certificate after she died, it automatically stopped. So what that person can do, seeing that the old person is gone into a home, what they can do is get an attorney and get power of attorney, because I don't think that the home is able to sign, because they would need her signature to get a power of attorney and then have somebody sign on her behalf the certificate showing that they're alive so that they can get the pension from England still. So that's the best way to go, is get the power of attorney.
She said it was expensive when I mentioned that part of it. She
but
said
the power of attorney is not that expensive, because it's also legal aid. You can also go to Justice of the Peace.
Ma'am, that's what she said.
Right, but she's working on behalf of somebody.
Yeah.
She needs to go to the family, needs to do it, not her. She's a friend, as she said.
Oh, you know she's a friend?
No, that's what she said. Some, if it's somebody that she knows, so it probably is her friend. I could only say what she was saying.
Don't assume
that. But the family needs to go and have it sorted out. Get Justice of Peace. And have them go to the bank or wherever she does her banking, where the money comes in, and then they can go from there.
Okay.
To give them, so that we wouldn't have this law, you know, like, it's a matter of, like, talking to the important people as opposed to talking to people that telling you what to do and not what not to do. Go straight to the matter. Go to Justice of Peace and find out. Go to the banking institution where she is, and then go from there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well. Got to hand it to the team. They really know how to put their stuff together. Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Curtis. I notice members of the A team are tanning nicely, and their voices are going deeper than Barry White. And that happens every year at sports. I want to encourage those who support the school's athletic championships to provide the A team with a hat and some tonic for the throat, please, as part of the provision of the sponsorship. I do feel for my friends in the field. Well, good afternoon to you, wherever you are. The Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 4341-790, 266-4862, 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp message says, I have a question. Do outside companies have a different set of labor laws to Barbadian companies? Because you have companies treating staff like they're slaves, can't go to the bathroom. If you do, money comes out of your paycheck. 30-minute lunches, 15-minute breaks. Buildings that are sick because they're not clean in the buildings and the vents of the ACs. But they work on a system that if you go, we can always find someone to replace you because people here won't work. Well, it's one of the things that I've asked about, because companies in Barbados are supposed to operate under the laws of Barbados, number one. Their business practices, however, from their country of domicile sometimes seem to be enforced. That is because two reasons. Reason number one, their management, which sometimes they rotate, have absolutely no idea what the laws of Barbados are, nor do they care. Two, those who work in those institutions do not join unions because they think by joining the union they would be victimized and kicked out. And therefore, they accept the conditions under which they work. And that's why companies like that tell you that they could always find somebody else, because they can. And they have. There are some others that do abide by the law, but sadly, there are others that do not. That's my piece on that. But they're supposed to abide by the laws of Barbados. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. 4341790.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, I just want to do a little ad, well, to remind Barbados, and in particular in St. Peter, of our community service day tomorrow, February the 11th. And this is put on by the Parish Organizing Committee, St. Peter Regathering 2020. We have organized for St. Peter a cleanup of the environment in some areas. And for those persons who are vulnerable in our community. And while we have a list of some of those persons, I am encouraging anyone who is listening to me now to submit the names of anyone who they know is vulnerable in their area and in need of this sort of help to get their surroundings cleaned up. I'll give you my number off the air so that they can submit the names of those persons to me.
Okay.
We will also have the Diabetic Association in Spitestone tomorrow by the fish market from 10 to 1 o'clock, and they will also be in Myling Quarter from 2 to 4 o'clock.
Okay. If you stay on the line, the producer will get that number and take it, and thank you for sharing that with the public. The WhatsApp message says, I'm sharing with you a picture from the Legal Profession Attorneys at Law Remuneration for Non-Contentious Business Rules 1997 on the fees prescribed for the preparation of a power of attorney in Barbados. In addition to the fee charge, this stamp duty payable is $25 and the recording fee is approximately $24. You can determine for yourself whether this is excessive, and VAT is payable on the fee. The specific powers, $250, general powers, $400. And that's the information from 1997. I don't know if that's still in force, but there it is. That's the information I have. So 4341790. And you can call us and have a conversation. I'm trying to read a WhatsApp message here that is screaming at me with large capital letters. I was trying to figure out what it was about, but it doesn't concern brass tacks, so I'll let that one slide. Person said they're keen to weigh in on the headlines in the newspaper about the abuse of elders in Barbados, and they referred to banks with fees for what they call no decent reason. This is your bank fees. That's another one that's going to take, I don't know. Okay, the person tell me, yes, it's still in force. The laws haven't changed. It's just that 1997 was a way back, so I was just being cautious. I know from time to time laws have changed. Certainly VAT registration and who can register for VAT has changed over that period, so I was just checking. This question of bank fees is another one we're going to have to look at some point, but I will recall the Bankers Association president saying, you know, you could go to the credit union if you want, but the credit union still got to come to us, which means that, you know, you're at our mercy one way or another. What I would advise you to do is to shop around. There are several banks, and you can decide which one has the fees that you could handle and take it from there. I don't know why we believe we have to stay with, be faithful to somebody or something that's not faithful to us. Fidelity works both ways. And by the way, for those who didn't hear it at the start, the program goes until 2 o'clock unless we have sports coverage. And the only day I know we have sports coverage this week for sure is Friday. The National Stadium, which was being used for the secondary school's athletic competitions, for 2 weeks, it's out of use. So the sports that were scheduled for the National Stadium over that 2-week period had to be shifted, and I'm not sure yet when and where they'll be held. I wait for the A-team to tell me on that. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm pretty all right. I just want to respond to that last thing that you read.
Mm-hmm.
The legal profession that non-contentious rules
1997.
They state a minimum fee. A minimum fee that you can charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an attorney at law, by the way. The minimum fee that you can charge, I'm really talking about 23 years ago. 23 years ago, you could buy, but fare was less than a dollar or probably a dollar, and you could have bought quite a few things with $10 that you can't buy today. So when you take into account inflation, when you take into account the cost of everything has risen, it would be really unreasonable for someone to be charging you today what they would have charged you back in 1997. And that's one thing I wanted to say. Any thoughts from you, sir?
Sir, I don't know how people arrive at charges, okay? Let me say this. There are people who charge for time. There are people who charge for the complex nature of what they do. And if they are allowed to set their own fees based on the time or the complex nature of what they do or what they pay those who work with them, and if they're allowed to set those fees themselves, they do so.
Agreed.
Since 100%. There is, no, but since you underline the fact that it's a minimum,
yeah,
it means to me that they can go above the minimum if they can justify the reason for them doing so.
Right, you're perfectly correct. Well, and the minimum was set so that people would not undercut their fellow.
Okay, well, which is what I feel is a reason for a minimum.
Right.
Therefore, there is. I know there are people who would do work for nothing if they figure they can recoup it somewhere else, and
right,
therefore would adjust their bill to suit. Let me put it this way, okay? If they feel that an indigent person needs the help and they could give it to them for $10, they would. If they feel that Dennis Johnson has come up in a Mercedes and he could pay a little extra $10 on the $250 I charge him, they charge me $260. I feel they would do it. I'm not saying that I'd be happy or that they should. I just feel that they can't do it. Or
right,
they will.
People need to be reasonable.
No, but let's be honest.
You can't go and buy a shirt for $5.10. I said they're going to certain places. You can't go and buy even groceries right now for what you paid for 23 years ago.
Well, but and this is why I'm saying, okay, let's also factor this into consideration. There are people who do not think, quote unquote, that they need certain services. Agreed?
Agree.
There are some people who don't think they should pay for certain services. When I sit here and I listen, either here or in the other booth, I hear that, okay? So they will object to any fee. Full stop.
Agreed.
Full stop.
That's unfortunate, and I find that that's what's been happening a lot with the legal profession in Barbados. People cry out and say lawyers take away people's money and teach.
Correct,
money.
And carry
but
it.
Not, yeah. They're not going to be speaking about the persons who owe lawyers so much money, and they come expecting you to charge little or nothing.
Because, again, as I said, because of the reputation. So, look, I tried to be as fair as possible, eh? And I remember saying, I could remember I said, so, you know, it couldn't have been that long ago. You would go to a doctor, and he would tell you, you need an operation to remove whatever, and it costs $8,000.
Uh-huh.
And nobody negotiates with the doctor. They ain't asking, you can give me for $800.
You know,
or that the fellow down the road tell me is only $1,500. They don't. But they go to a contractor and ask him to fix the kitchen, and he says, this is going to cost you $3,000. And they say, so much, you can't give me for $1,200? Because they feel they could negotiate with him.
Right.
So there are certain professions that people feel they could negotiate with or beat them down, or their fees are expensive.
But that is unfortunate, because If you go and you study for all these years and then you're providing a service,
sir,
and you need to provide for your family and put food on the table, why should somebody come, except you're being really excessive, why should someone come and just determine, well, you've just drawn up a letter or done a couple of pages of something filing in court, I'm not going to pay you $2,000-$3,000. I believe it's worth $200. You know, and they'll probably pay a retainer of part of that, and then you don't hear or see from them again, although they win the case. And that is the reality that happens in Barbados. So I'm just putting the other side of
no,
the coin.
No, but hold on. Let me, before you go on from that.
I'm just putting the other side of the coin.
No. I have no problem with you doing it, and I'll tell you why I am encouraging this discussion. Because at the core of the matter, as I said just now, is what you consider to be adequate compensation for your talents and what you do. Let me give you the reality of those of us who use our voice, for example. Okay? I used to do commercials. I used to do voiceovers for commercials. I still read commercials for this company free of cost, okay? Because it's quote-unquote part of my duties. But I used to do voiceovers for companies. And a company would say to me, I could only pay you $125. I would tell them, no, my fee is $10 per second. But I only have $125. I would tell them, I have a list of charities. Your company is not one of my charities.
Right.
I would do Buddy Boy round the corner shop that's selling, you know, ham cutters for nothing, because it's Buddy Boy around the corner.
Right.
But if you are corporate X or Y with trucks with your name on it and, you know, things of that nature, my fee is $10 a second. But all you have to do is talk. I say, okay, fine. Let somebody else talk. Because they have no... And you see, the problem is they have no appreciation of what is your talent and why you think you should be able to use it to, as you say, put food on the table. So if you have a company that they turn over, I see in the newspaper, a bank said it made $130-something million dollars in profit. Now, if my bank makes $130-something million dollars in profit, and my bank comes to me and tell me they want a 30-second commercial, why must I charge them? Why charge Buddy Boy Bread Shop?
Definitely.
Because Buddy Boy Bread Shop don't make $135 million, nor does he charge me $25 service charge for my account, or $50 for my X card, or 25% on my credit card, or whatever. So the mere fact that you charge me that, when you come to me and ask me to tell you how nice my bank is, I will give you a fee that I think is commensurate with what you want me to do. Endorse your product for X price. Or take it to somebody else. So,
on the second point, I live in Saint James, and there's a roundabout at the entrance, well, close to the entrance of the development.
Right.
And persons find it convenient to go the other way around the roundabout instead of keeping to the left.
They go to
when
the
they're
right.
Traveling to the south, to the north of that roundabout, they go to the right of the roundabout, which is the up, the wrong way, while traffic could be coming from to the south of that roundabout and could have a head-on collision. And I'm saying that these are persons who are middle class, persons who should know better, and they continue to do it with impunity. I'm calling on the Ministry of Transport and Work to do something about it. Either erect some signage that says no entry by the roundabout, or even have elicit the services of the Royal Barbados Police Force, station the policeman there on morning at rush hour and report 100 people who are doing the wrong thing, and then they'll get a message. It seems like we have to be beaten over the head to do simple things that are right. To do, even though nobody's watching, just to do the correct thing. But people seem bent on doing, you know, when they'll stop, Dennis, when somebody dies.
That's what we always say. It always comes down to when something happens, we suddenly say, oh, Kadir. You know, it is unfortunate, I said it earlier, that our road habits are getting worse by the minute. For whatever reason, it's deteriorating on a daily basis, and I see it on the road all the time. We have this thrust to bring people from the diaspora home to Barbados in 2020.
We're gathering.
And we have different rules for every single roundabout in Barbados.
Right.
And that is a disaster waiting to happen. And I don't know when it's going to be fixed.
They're not saying that the person, when they land at the airport.
No, they're not.
They're not telling the person, well, if you hire a car, you can't
do this or that. This correct.
Possible. You have to keep on this side of the road at that other roundabout.
And everyone does not have a different sign. Everyone does not have sometimes the correct signage. Yep. And here's the other thing. With most people who drive in the United States on the other side of the road, once they're on the street, they're all right. When they turn a corner or they get to a roundabout that they do not have a clue what to do. And I've seen them go around the wrong side of a roundabout on more than one occasion, or turn a corner and go straight to the right-hand side of the road. And, you know, then people go out, scream and shout.
Well, I believe that it's incumbent even on the Barbados Tourism Authority to have the hoteliers and guest house operators sensitize the tourists
correct,
who come here.
Correct. But first, they got to employ guest services managers and activities hostesses and all these other people that they don't want to employ.
But they need to do that. We don't need to have tourists.
They do.
Yes, Barbados, and then there's a big headline on
correct.
All over the world.
Yep.
We don't need it.
And social media will kill us before the regular media does. Yeah.
Right. And the thing about it is that we are so small and so dependent on tourism that any bad press could really hurt us, you know, way down the road. But finally, Dennis, there are persons who also... But I'm going to make this call to the taxi drivers. If you set down a tourist, because some of them come to Barbados, and I don't know if they leave their sensibilities behind, but they would just walk across the road in front of traffic. Like if we are some country that only have donkey carts passing half an hour or whatever. I was on Sunset Crest Road yesterday, and a tourist man just walked across. I don't think he saw me. I don't think he looked. He just walked across. It's a good thing that I was paying attention to what's going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am saying that and this has happened more than once, where tourists just wander across the road or be in the middle of the road, especially in Bridgetown. I don't know if we need more education of those people when they come to our country. Let guest service management or whoever have a little chat with them. You know, when you go on a tourist liner, you do a safety briefing, and you have to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that should happen at every hotel in Barbados. If you're going to plan to drive in Barbados, if you're going to walk around Barbados,
correct.
Be aware of the traffic, be aware of where you can walk and whatever.
Sir, and that is absolutely true. And I spent 12 years in the industry, and I can tell you, we used to have briefings on mornings with the activities team as a guest services manager. One of the things I used to do at Haywood's, when I was at Paradise Beach Hotel as the public relations director, we did it as well, spoke to our clients. But here, the problem, sir, is that hotels seem not to pay attention to those little things anymore. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes people listen, sometimes they don't. The crucial thing, though, is this. Not only the occasional visitor to Barbados that needs to be sensitized, but some of the organizations that bring people here on a longer-term basis. For example, I saw a CD car, a car with CD license plates, let me correct myself, out by Welch's, where the post office is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They came across to that multiple sectioned area of the road and took the lane that would take you down to Bridge Road and then turned around to go up the hill. They made an absolute correct because there's an island in the road that they had to stop and reverse the turn to get around it because they did not know where to go. Right? And I sat behind the car going, this person does not have a clue what they're doing. Okay? That was one. The second one was At the top of St. Matthias Road, heading round to Wanderers. If you're going in the direction of Wanderers, or you want to turn down to St. Matthias Gap, you're supposed to stop. Now, the marking in the road is not clear, granted. Some guys who were dressed and in a vehicle with the Latter-day Saints on it just continued straight down the road and almost licked up the car that was coming from the area of Wanderers coming around the corner. And it's that car that had the right way, not them. But they were right. Completely oblivious to the fact that they just went straight across. Now, if you have those types of persons who are in Barbados for longer periods than just a visitor who comes for 2 or 3 days, the opportunity to sensitize them to the road laws in Barbados are obviously greater. And therefore, the embassies, the people who bring people in on long-term contracts, should have a sensitization program for people who plan to use the roads in Barbados. They have greater opportunity to do it than somebody who's here for a weekend.
I agree with you 100%. And I believe that things like no entry signs, which are universal.
Correct.
Especially tourists in Bridgetown going straight down one-way roads.
Correct.
And you wonder where did they leave the signs behind, where they came, you know. And the thing about things like that, you will see locals flagging them down and saying, no, you have to go the other way. And to my mind, that's really still not good enough. I don't want a serious accident to happen and tourists who came here on vacation end up dying.
I agree, because the lawsuit will shut down a few insurance companies and they'll take it out of those of us who live here.
I'm very jealous. You have a great day. Nice
you too, sir. It was good talking to you, hearing the other side. Someone sent a message saying that the taxi drivers in Barbados have the same problem you have. Everything gone up, taxi fares remain the same, and taxi men are not supposed to overcharge. Why should lawyers overcharge? Let them lobby government. Well, it's not that they're overcharging, so it's that they have a minimum fee and they can charge above the minimum. There's nothing that says the maximum is. So when you have a minimum fee, you have opportunity to charge above the minimum. Is when you cannot charge more than that, then you get into problems. Yeah, they could lobby though, because government is made up of lawyers. I don't know many lawyers who drive taxis. Perhaps they are.